Hey there, listeners. Before we get started, we want to give a huge thank you to the official sponsor of this miniseries, Nimble, a fast tactical TTRPG. If you like what you hear in this episode, there are a few great ways to get your hands on the game today. For only a few more days, you can follow the link in this episode description and back the Nimble Kickstarter for discounted hard copies and PDFs of the game. The Kickstarter ends on March 12th, 2026, so scurry on over there before it's too late. If you missed the Kickstarter, fear not. You can still visit nimblerpg.com and get PDF-only versions of the game and access to the Hexbinder class that Candace plays throughout the series for a 20% discount with the code MHHF. Thank you so much to Nimble for sponsoring us, and we hope that you'll check out the game. It really helps us and the folks over at Nimble when you do. And with that, on with the show.
Previously on Legends of Maul.
Treachery of the Rat King.
On the lake's western edge, two forces of critters clash. A roving band of cutthroat marauders seems to have drawn the ire of King's Court's noblest knights.
Prince Henry Lightpaw is a little brown mouse.
Hello there, my name is Shinna the Bun. I am a California rabbit.
The camera pulls in on Susie. She is a cherry head tortoise.
Lila Oysterling is a quarter pound purple mushroom.
These guys are easy peasy. And as the bandit crowd begins to clear, you find there is one bandit left.
Everyone on guard. I worry that the fight we just had might have been a trap of some kind.
We were raided. Two of the top generals in the Great War, the dreaded Hands of Arcadia. They took the children. This is a great blow.
Can't be a big blow for too long, because we're going to get those kids, right?
Would they be foolish enough to travel by daylight?
They would not dare make it all the way to Arcadia for fear of coming across the giants. You must head down to the Lake of Shimmering Waters, and then east through the Middlewood and on to Kiosk.
We got this.
Far before you, you see the shimmering lake in the distance, and you know that that is your first stop.
The giants like to throw large, round, metallic discs inside and utter a secret to themselves, a bit of mysticism.
For King's Court!
For King's Court!
For King's Court!
You feel an arrow pierce your side.
This time, the lightning arcs to the water and bounces a few times before it comes back and hits this archer in the back.
Up in the rafters, high above you, there is a shape. This is Dreadwing, mad macaw of Petlandia and terror to all of Maul.
Lila hits the deck.
We must hide.
He swoops down. You see a flash of blood red, and then he is beneath the bank.
I will find you.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Mage Hand High Five. I'm your Dungeon Master, Casey Pappas, and with me, ranked least to most likely to pick up that haunted gem. First, Rowan McStay.
Howdy, I'm Rowan McStay, and you are correct. I am too superstitious. I do not buy used shoes or mirrors, and I will not pick up change or money off of the street because it is a trick. And I absolutely would not pick up that gem. That is none of my friggin' business.
Next, Candace the Magnificent.
Hello, I am Candace Murray, also known as Candace the Magnificent. My pronouns are they, she, and a sprinkle of he. And you are right. I would look at the gem. I would study the gem. I'd poke it with a stick. And I would speak loudly to any ghost that was attached to it and let it know that I am mostly its friend as long as it behaves itself. And then I'd be done. I'd tell someone else to pick it up and see what happened to them.
I do like that is one step higher engagement level than me. Like, so far, Casey's really nailing it.
Yeah, exactly.
I would immediately walk away. I'd be like, nope, that's not for me.
What? Excuse me.
No thanks.
Next, Robin Langenhop.
Hi, I'm Robin Langenhop playing Sin of the Bun. And here's the thing. I probably wouldn't grab the gem. But if there was a suspiciously intelligent looking deer beckoning me to follow it into a meadow, I would fall into that trap. It's really a matter of what kind of magical shenanigans am I going to let myself get into?
That's a good point.
That's so fair.
And last, and certainly not least, Jenda La Vega.
Hi, I'm Jenda La Vega. My pronouns are she, her. And you bet your bottom that I would touch that gem. like Rowan, I am also superstitious, but I also come from a family who heavily believes in ghosts. So we're already haunted. Ooh. As it is.
Same. Why would you want to be more?
I'm just not bothered by it. I also would probably want to sell it or bite it to see if it's edible.
Jen.
What?
Are you a dice eater?
Not a
Jen. Are you a those dice
I'm
look delicious.
I'm not a dice eater, but I probably want to sell it first, see how much I can get for it.
I can't handle this. My mother and I literally saw the same ghost in our house independently of each other. Why would you mess around with this? This is crazy, especially as someone who believes in ghosts.
It's just my great grandmother in the living room. She's very curious about you. Nothing to be afraid of.
Your great grandma's not in the gem.
No, someone who's stuck in the gym, somebody put them there.
There's somebody else in there.
Yeah.
Your great-grandma's not in the gym, but they are pretending to be your great-grandmother.
Yeah.
I really want to see the spin-off show, Is It Cake or Is It a Cursed Object? Either way, I'm eating it.
Would watch.
No, you're wrong. It's not cake. And you are cursed. Well, now that we have introduced our players and our guests, I wanted to say welcome back to the second episode of Legends of Maul, Treachery of the Rat King.
Yes.
Like last time, we will be playing Nimble, a brand new lightweight RPG by game designer Evan Diaz. Thank you, Evan and Nimble, for sponsoring Maul and for letting us play your fantastic game. I'm very excited to get back into it. And what one thing that has changed since last time is that you have all leveled up.
Yay!
Yeah!
You're going into the next episode with level 2 characters. That being said, shall we dive right in?
Back into the action.
For the queen!
For the queen!
For Tacobel!
Then I will set our scene.
Where are you? I want to see you. Where are you? I want to see you.
The thunderous, mocking voice rasps from beneath your feet. The legendary dragon bird of Maul has decided now to be the best time to declare its presence in the western reaches. You are all frozen exactly where you stand. Senna and Henry, the ground beneath you is the slotted lower level of the bink. And through those gaps, you glimpse feathers of blood red, some far longer than your body. You've heard the legends. Even the giants fear this macaw's speed, intelligence, and the depths of its anger. Lila and Susie, you are further back, atop the higher plateau of the back bink. And from here, you can see the forest for the trees. You can make out the massive outline of the macaw like a shark beneath the surface of the water. Amongst the party, Senna the Bun is probably the largest in size, and even they are less than a fourth the size of this beast. In the silence, you can hear its beak tapping against the tiled earth, and Lila, you hear it call in giant, in which you are fluent. Where are you? I want to see you. Where are you? As a party, you do not know if you have the bird's attention. What do you do?
Just panic.
Do we have anything else that we can throw into the lake?
I'll travel light. I don't have anything on me.
Are any of the bodies of the archers still here?
Ooh. Now that's a plan.
There are. In fact, let me have everyone roll perception checks.
Can it be investigation?
Sure. If you're, I'll take perception or investigation. Investigation if you are looking for something.
Examination, rather.
Oh, yes. Don't roll investigation. That's not in this game.
16.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, there you go.
10.
Just an 11 for Senna.
That's a 6.
Susie, you have the best view of what's on the bank. Lila and Senna, you know that the archers are still here because they got shot and are, you know, lying down on the bank. Henry, you are a little frazzled.
Can't imagine why.
By Dreadwing, I believe the devourer of your siblings.
That's correct. 3 of them anyway.
There is maybe the idea that you might be the 4th.
Blast, I told Father I didn't want to inherit the throne. This is why.
Too risky.
Susie, with your 16, you are able to see most everything that's on the bank. At the moment, there is not a lot. Aside from the 2 archers, the bank is mostly empty, but there are a few items. There are 2 large metal discs, which seem to be the type that you described to the party before, the ones that giants would use to cast wishes into the lake. But you don't know whether Dreadwing would take an offering of metal. However, further down, and in the middle of the bank, is an object. It's a little tough to make out, but perhaps some kind of toy? But what you can see is that it seems to have 4 wheels all pointed up to the sky.
Wheels pointed to the sky. Susie has seen items like this around the mall. Mm. The giants sometimes lose things. And at night, they're like almost like artifacts that we find of their life during the day. And I think in that moment, Susie realizes that this thing might have another way of sitting. Perhaps it's upside down. And looks to the other two. Even though she's far away, the sound of Dreadwing and his voice kind of crackling in this space as he is busied by other things, Susie kind of takes a moment to kind of yell at the others that are further away.
On top of the bink, there is something. Perhaps crawl beneath it. Seek sanctuary.
I'm going to roll something.
Uh-oh.
Susie, you best be running.
You say that, everything falls silent. Dreadwing stops moving. There is silence, and then Dreadwing continues tapping on the ground with his beak.
Lila, you see Susie for the first time since you've met them pick all of their feet up and scooch them inside of their shell. Their head is tucked in as well, like you can still see their face. They don't want to leave you alone. But there is a very real sense of fear that happens in that silence. And in like an instant, you see them tighten up until the tapping starts again. And then they relax and look at you. And there's a little bit of embarrassment on their wizened face. But behind their eyes, you can kind of see that this is not the first time that this creature has posed a danger to Susie. And when you look at like the markings on their back and the places that their shell has been patched, the little scars they have on their arms and their legs, it's clear that they've been through something in their time between Petlandia and this moment with you now. And they kind of shuffle over to you to make sure you're okay.
In the tiniest whisper, she goes, "You can do that?" But as the last word leaves her mouth, she sort of has this, like, very fast-forwarded flashback of the outside. And that same shape flying overhead. And she has this sort of matrix understanding of why you are afraid. And she recoils into herself, like slightly drying and shriveling in the cap.
Oi, oi, Lori.
Still, Lila.
Do you know what that thing is? The thing with the wheels? Could you get it going?
Oh. And she has another one of these flashbacks. This time honking. And the sound of a very large predator, but not made of flesh. And she gets like a ding understanding. And starts to kind of creep her way toward it.
If the two of you can get that running, I think I might be able to make a distraction.
I actually had an idea for a distraction too. What's your distraction?
Well, I thought that we could possibly take one of those metal discs and reflect a bit of light off of it so that Dreadwing sees light on the opposite wall.
Well, that's interesting. I was just going to toss one of the archers.
Why not both?
Great. Love that idea.
I will say, I don't know how clever Dreadwing is, so I don't know if...
It's a grand beast. It's a nightmare on wings.
Yes, so you've said. But the point is, if we were to throw someone off, I don't know whether he could follow the trajectory back up to us. So perhaps we should try the lower risk plan first.
You know what? That sounds wonderful.
I'll listen, if we have to resort to the archer, I'll be the first to help you grab a foot.
Legume, Susie, let's all get this wheels thing flipped over.
I'm not a legume.
I do think she's sort of a fungus.
I'm a fungus. That was so hurtful.
I'm so sorry. I'll get it right one day.
Right, the two of you need to work this out. I'm going to go grab the metal disc. And what I would like to do is find a light source nearby, whether it's a security light or... I don't know if there's early morning sun coming through the skylight yet, just any kind of like whatever the brightest light source is, and I want to angle that metal disc in order to reflect a bit of light from it and start moving the reflection of light.
So the thing is, the sun is not high enough in the sky to beam down through the skylight. However, the strongest light source at the moment is the sun. It is shining through the doors across the water of the shimmering lake. As you tossed the coin into the lake, the sun was beginning to come up in the distance.
Mm-hmm.
And so that sun is shining directly this way. And so in order to cast off of that coin, you would need to climb up to the top of the back of the bank again, where Lila and Susie are, to get that angle. In order to cast the light.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tie off the metal disc to my little mouse body and climb on up the bank.
Okay. As you're doing that, what is everyone else doing?
Lila is army crawling toward. She's like, little mushroom moving slowly.
A little bit crying still from being called a legume.
Yeah, just trying to hold it in because they were so mean.
Oh, baby girl.
And you are headed to the car?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is anyone else headed to the car?
I will head in the direction of the car, but I will drag one of the archers by the tail along with me in case I need him for an emergency toss.
Just a
body just in case.
My emergency body.
Yep.
Yeah, gruesome. Love it. Susie, are you staying where you're at?
Susie is wanting to help, but is also deeply, deeply paralyzed right now with fear.
Okay.
She also knows that she's very slow. And she wants the others to have a fighting chance, especially knowing that she carries her armor with her. So I think she starts to make her way over there, hoping to maybe, like, bite down on, like, the tail end of this toy car.
Okay.
And just sort of like slide along like on the little belly of her undershell at the back as everybody's going around. But she doesn't make any kind of sudden movements because she knows that Dreadwing is not stupid. If she's learned anything from Petlandia, she knows that he's bilingual. She knows that it is sharp and that it is keen in how he kind of sees things. Did we determine he or it? Am I using the wrong
one? I'm so sorry. We can alternate. He, it.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. So I think all of that information that she has is kind of coming to her now. She doesn't want to freak Henry and Lila out, and she knows that Cinna can more than take care of themselves. But there is definitely like an echo of those moments that have passed her by that have impacted the way that her body feels and the way that she feels in this moment. And I think as she kind of moves along and sort of creeps along, going even slower than normal to hopefully just look like a rock to Dreadwing. Anyone close by would hear her just very quietly saying, "It's all right. It's all right. As long as they're safe, you stand a chance together." Like kind of just repeating this mantra to herself as they're trying to kind of make their way over to the rest of their friends.
Hearing this, Cinna stops, lets go of the mouse tail, turns back towards Susie, and just holds their paws out as an offer of, "I'll carry you."
I think you see their eyes fill up with tears. It takes them a second to understand what you're offering. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of looking at you quizzically like, "Is this no time for a hug? What is the meaning of this?
I am quite soft."
Exactly. And for a second, she's like, "I mean, maybe it'll help." And she kind of leans in. And then I think when you pick her up, you hear like a little chuckle in her ear. "If I get too heavy, please put me down. I don't want to make this problem worse."
"Who knows? Maybe the giants have made the floor all slippery like they do sometimes. Maybe we could just slide."
"That would be quite nice, yes." And she has like a little smile and her eyes have like little tears in them as she just kind of like allows herself to be carried. She tucks her arms and legs in to make it easier for you to maneuver.
"Don't worry, friend. I gotcha. I always gotcha."
As you are all maneuvering to your different positions, I will have you all roll stealth checks. However, Susie, because you're being carried, you don't have to.
Thank God.
So,
thank goodness for that.
Cinna will take your stealth check for you.
Okay.
Ooh, ooh. With a minus one, that's an 18.
15.
I rolled a natural one.
Uh-oh.
Cinna, as you are carrying Susie, you miscalculate just a little bit. One of the steps between the slats, and your foot scrapes off the edge of the slat and falls between them. You hit the ground, one of your legs dangling between the slats. And you hear from underneath the tapping stop. And Lila, you hear, "Found you." Cinna, I need you to roll a dexterity check.
Okay.
Is there a help action that I can do here?
Yes. I will allow you to roll the help action because you are right there. You can help pull them away.
I just roll my d20 and then a straight roll? Or
let me make sure that that's how the help... you know what? Nope. According to the rules, I'm not supposed to look up the rules. So...
the help action works that it is the... I think it is one person gives the other person advantage.
Oh, okay. Okay. Cool. So, okay. Candace, you would give Robin advantage.
Here we go. 15.
You... It's almost instinct to just recoil your leg right back up. It's that moment when you are in a darkened room and you suddenly get the willies and have to run for the door to turn the light on. It is that sort of instinct that recoils your leg back up. And as your leg makes it past the threshold of the slat, you hear and see the sound of jaws snap over where your leg was milliseconds before. It was a 14 to your 15.
Ooh. Oh my goodness.
And as the jaws close, they move past and are replaced by an eye that pins, narrows to see you and says, "Found you.
Run! Run to the heated wheels!"
Right, we need to run. Things have changed rather significantly.
Yep.
Are you about to have us roll initiative, or can we start acting on the new information that we have?
I think initiative is the way to go. I think I will have you all roll initiative. Neither party has surprise on the other, so you will go first.
Come on, good old Lila. No. She got a 4.
Okay, so that's one. That's one action.
On a nat 1, I got a 5.
Oh, man. Oh.
Okay, the good thing is nat 1s and nat 20s don't do anything in initiative, so you still get one action.
Okay.
That's an unnatural 1 for Henry.
Ooh, we got 3 1 actions so far.
This is so bad, y'all.
I got a 2.
All right.
Okay, so you all get one action before combat begins. Henry, you have made your way to the top of the bank, while everyone else is now on the seat of the bank surrounding the toy. Dreadwing is beneath and now knows that you are above. So let's go. I think last time I just picked a random order.
Typically with the rules as written, it is whoever as a player is ready actually first, and then you go around the table counterclockwise.
You know what? Let's do that. Who is ready?
I do have a rather wild idea.
Oh, wild ideas. Mm-hmm. Please.
All right.
Please go.
I want to use my yarn as a kind of a lasso.
Okay.
Drop it down through the slat and catch Dreadwing to hold him in place while the others can set up the escape vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
I think making the lasso and catching Dreadwing on the lasso are two separate actions.
Mm. Okay.
Unless you don't really make a lasso, you just lower a loop.
Mm-hmm.
Like you hold one end and hold the other and lower the middle down.
Oh.
In order to try and like catch him.
I'll do that.
Okay.
This is it's a desperate play, but I'm going to try it.
Okay. You lower it. This is for sure a finesse check.
15.
I'm going to have Dreadwing contest the check.
Mm-hmm.
And on a 2, Dreadwing begins to move forward and flap his wings. And as you lower the loop, it catches underneath his beak and around his sort of upper torso and neck.
Mm-hmm.
And he begins to struggle against the string. On consecutive turns, I will need a strength check to keep this up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I'm holding him for as long as I can.
Right, well played.
Get the car going.
Do you have scissors? We don't really want to see you in your skivvies.
Oh, I'll just have to hold it.
All right.
Henry.
Right, okay. I am going to... I kind of want to, stand on the metal disc and drop in down the bank.
Ooh.
And do a might check to heave the car upright.
Okay, ooh. Cool. Mm. So you are going to drop straight down.
Yeah, a la California skate park. Yeah.
Okay, so the thing is, I think moving and flipping the car are two actions.
All right. Well, I think Henry tries to drop in and surf the coin down.
All right.
Okay. Let me have you roll a finesse check. to surf the coin down.
Right, with a negative one, let's see what I get. Oh, no. That's actually not bad. That's a 13.
Okay. All right. Hey, 13 works. You skate the coin down. At the last second, you tumble just a little bit, but you land next to the car. The coin skitters and remains on the bick.
That was fun. Let's never do that again.
All right.
And now you are next to the toy car with everyone else. Susie.
Susie sees this just disgusting display before her of this the eye and then the beak, and then sees Cinna jump into action.
I thought you meant abuser.
And immediately...
I'm so sorry. I misunderstood what you meant by disgusting display. I thought you meant what we were doing. I was like, okay.
Oh, no. Disgusting.
No, this creature that is just absolutely heck-bent on invading the personal space of me and my friends. Susie is really affronted. Like, as much as she is having, you know, some a little bit of PTSD flashback to bad times that have happened before with this villain, they know that, like, this is a sensitive spot for everyone in some way, right? They know that Cinna knows exactly what this is like to escape this situation and to live alongside this creature. They know that Henry has lost family members to it, and it's probably one of his greatest nightmares, and understands that Lila is so fresh and so new to this world that while she understands there's danger here, right, this might be the most visceral danger that she's ever been in. And I think there's a certain amount of, like, protectiveness that Susie feels. I'm going to channel all of that into a hex.
Ooh, okay.
And try to put an affliction.
Hex.
on this baddie. He is okay. Genuinely the worst. Mm-hmm. And I'm really upset about it. I'm real cheesed off. Oh! Do dice explode in this game?
Yes, so the leftmost one is your primary die if you're rolling more than one. If you get the maximum amount on the leftmost die, then yes.
So if you're just rolling one, that would be just that one.
Okay. So I got a crit, which is awesome because that means I can do two things.
Hey,
now.
Nice. Yeah. Look at you.
Second is a one. So that's 5 plus my level. So that's 2. So that's 7 points of damage. And I would like to apply Withered.
Ooh, okay.
So, similar to what I had done in our last session, the first attack made against a friendly creature will be made with disadvantage.
Great.
Wow.
Okay.
There's a kind of a zap of, like, reddish gold energy that shoots forth from Susie's hands. Very different to, like, the golden energy, the more positive energy that you saw before. And she aims it at that eye as it kind of, like, as this creature, like, snaps its neck back and forth, trying to kind of wriggle out of its bindings.
Mm-hmm.
And she aims it right between the slats of the bink and gets it in the eye. Hopefully it'll cause some damage, if not a little bit of blindness, to maybe give us a second to be able to complete this task.
Absolutely. You get it in the eye and cause it the withering effect. And that blindness gives it just a little bit of a halting movement so that when its first attack, it will attack with disadvantage. He bucks his head to the side. Cinna, you are holding on to his reins now. Great. Then next in the order is Lila.
Would you say that Lila is near the car now?
Yes, you're all near the car now. You're all around the car.
Okay. Would you consider looking at this thing, considering technology, that this is nature craft to her?
Ooh, yes.
Wow. Yep.
That would be your assessment. So that would be your action for the turn, is to figure out what this card does. Mm-hmm. But you can figure it out.
Great. She's looking at it and she's reaching toward the mycelia network that goes back in time. And you hear static and an old TV that says,
"How much Hot Wheels action do you have? That's a start. Now add power. One supercharger, lap after lap action. action. Two superchargers test your racing skill. With two-way superchargers, you've got the best Hot Wheels set yet.
And she goes, I know this.
What manner of demon is this? I love it.
And she sets to identifying all the parts of it as she's just excitedly moving around it and just touching things.
Ooh.
Fantastic. Let me have you roll a naturecraft check.
Please.
DC check of 12.
Oh, this is exciting. This is a 16.
Okay. Ooh.
On a 16, you know that this is not just any heated wheels. This is the special kind. You go over, you test its wheels. They rotate freely in one direction, and in another direction, they begin to produce a clicking noise.
Cool.
There we go.
This is a pullback car.
Oh, she sees formulas in her head, like,
zooms out.
Just the map floating around.
And then she sees commercials of kids playing with them and pulling them back.
You see this full-grown kid, like, pulling back on it. And you know that a strength check of 10 or higher gives the car a charge, with a maximum of 3 charges. It can then expend all charges 1 to 3 in one action, traveling an amount dependent on the amount of charges expended, allowing for quick travel in one action.
Oh, wow.
Nice design, Casey.
That's very good. That's very, very good.
Thank you. I felt good about that one.
Hey, you! You don't look familiar. First time in this part of the city? I see that sneer on your face. Better wipe it off before I do it for you. This is home. This is the best place you could ever want to be. Whether or not this is where you meant to end up, you found yourself on a rather fortuitous street. You see that corner building down there? 3 floors up. Lamplight Investigative Services. Friends of mine, you ask. Loaded words you're throwing around this evening. Good people is what they are, though. Not a single one of them will admit to being nice. Something about duty, yada yada. A bunch of BS, if I do say so myself. Who am I? No need to worry your pretty little head about that. I'm sure my name will come up in time. But go, see for yourself, 3 floors up, gold-gilded sign. As for Mama, don't tell him I sent you. She'll know what to do.
All doors are just windows that we can't see through. You ever think about that?
We provide our patrons with anonymity.
Hello, this is Mama Amaretta speaking.
Lamplight Investigations, a Thirsty Sword Lesbian's noir mystery. Full season available now on QueerPG.
You ever listen to an actual play podcast and think, I want to play at that table? No, Quest for the Wicked's got you. When a planet mysteriously appears in the Castle Mall solar system, it sparks a chaotic scramble of corporations, scientists, and adventurers. Little do they know, a dark threat hangs over them. And the only two who can stop it are Vlinigan, a father looking for a new start, and Flitwick, a privileged DJ setting out to prove himself to his family. But they have a secret weapon. You, the listener, join the council and vote on important decisions. Create and name NPCs, form factions with other listeners, and even influence the hands of fate themselves. So don't wait. Visit noquestcast.com to claim your seat at our table.
How many of us does it look like the car can fit?
It looks like the more people that hang on to this, the more difficult the skill check it will take to hang on as it moves.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
You could all four feasibly grab onto this thing. Whether or not you stay on is dependent on the check. It's a lower check if there's only one, and then higher if it's more.
Okay, we need to overturn this thing.
Right, on it. Trying to make that happen right now. Just a bit heavy.
too heavy for me.
Just do it quickly.
The mushroom and a mouse trying to lift this car.
I don't know who you're talking to. This mouse has a +3 to might.
Does that mean you're a mighty mouse?
I am a mighty mouse. Thank you for pointing that out, Susie. Elder Susie, rather.
Fantastic. Now that it has been y'all's turn, it is Dreadwing's turn.
So fun.
Dreadwing is going to attempt to use his wing buffet action. He is going to attempt to fly out from under the bink. However, Senna, I will have you roll a contested strength check.
Okay.
Against Dreadwing.
Strength or might?
Let's do might.
Okay. That is a 15.
Come on, Senna.
On an 8.
Oh, I'm a beefy bun.
Yes!
On an 8, Dreadwing attempts to move and is clotheslined by your...
That's a beefy bun!
By your string.
Oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't.
It's you know, fear is solidifying your grip on this thing. You have a grip of iron as the bird fully flips from under the yarn and slams down onto his back. That is going to be his turn. However, he is prone. Mm-hmm. But he has flipped out from under your yarn.
All right, time to get moving, kids.
Senna, it is your turn.
It's my turn. Okay, I'm right next to the car.
Yes.
Okay, I will first flip the car.
Okay, that is your first action. Let me have you roll a might check because this car is pretty big. It's big enough to sort of fit all four of you.
Can I give a reaction to give the help action?
Ooh, yeah.
Great.
Yeah, that would expend one of your three, but yes.
Senna, need a lift?
Absolutely.
On three. 1, 2, 3.
Well, lift, because we're lifting the... Yeah. Oh,
right.
Yep, yes,
yeah, 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 yeah. Because we're lifting the car. It was sort of a double pun. Was, thank you so much for noticing.
It's a 22.
Ooh.
Great.
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah. Oh, easily. You flip the car, it almost flips back over. it rocks on its wheels and then steadies. And it is facing out.
Okay, and now we need to push it backwards to go forwards.
Backwards, Lila.
Back to go forwards.
The name of
back
the giants are you talking about?
Until you hear 3 times the sound.
Backwards.
Yes. Trust in your girly.
Little demon prophet, I do trust you. We shall push the car backwards.
Just listen to Lufa. All right, I'll push it back.
Great. You push it back. Roll a might check. It's a lot of might checks.
Dirty 20.
Ooh, okay. That is one charge.
Okay.
Senna, as you push the car back, you hear the of it locking in a charge.
That. We need that.
That. All right. I'll do it again. I'll do it again.
All right. Roll again.
Only a 7.
You push it back. It bucks against you. It's getting tough to push it back. Mm-hmm. It still has one charge, but you have not gained a second one.
We got to get this thing going, kids.
And that is your 3 actions. Henry.
On it, Senna. And I will do a might check to try and push the car back again.
Okay, do it up.
Can I help with advantage?
Ooh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm doing air traffic control.
Thank you, Lila. That's very good. That is a 21.
Ooh, okay. With Lila air trafficking... You
little to the left, little to the left.
You are able to push the car back until you hear the of it locking in another charge. You have one more action.
Perfect. One more mic check.
Okay. Do it up.
Nat 20.
What?
Yes!
We're rolling like this for the car.
You're right, Delta Susie, I am a mighty mouse. For the queen.
You push the car back a third time and it clicks into place.
That's three.
All three charges are ready to go.
Get in.
Right. Mushling, would you like to cast a spell?
Oh, would I?
Okay.
Just take a note. Mushling good, legume bad, right?
Yeah.
Is Mushling okay? Yeah. Is that all right? I thought it was like a fun, friendly nickname.
Still in my species.
As this is happening, you hear from underneath the thing.
Right, just tell me if the nicknames aren't working. I just thought it was endearing. And I'm going to use an ability that I have that is a commander ability called Coordinated Strike. As a free action, Lila and myself can make a weapon attack or cast a cantrip for free. So I'm going to stab down with a telling tack into Dreadwing as Lila can attack or make a cantrip of her choice.
Ooh, okay. What cantrip would you like to use?
She's going to use Zap. She gets her little coffee stirrer out and circles it above her head like a coffee stirrer.
Like everyone does with
coffee
stirrers.
Like what it is. Yep.
She's stirring in the air this time, not using both hands. And she calls upon the power of the lightning from the nearest socket as it transfers a zap. That, outward.
That same unfortunate socket built into the side of the mall fountain. Nobody can understand why it's there. Exactly. You pull energy directly from it. Both of you roll attacks.
That's 9 damage for me.
I got 16.
Holy
hey,
cow.
Hey.
Wonderful.
Wow. Okay. You both coordinated attack. There, the telling tack slices through, and Lila, you guide an arc of electricity into Dreadwing, and you both nail Dreadwing in the same spot.
Is it like a lightning rod?
Yeah, oh.
Like using the tack as a lightning rod? Oh, that's so good. Yeah, Henry stabs into Dreadwing, and immediately the zap hits the tack and zzz into...
Oh,
and I very quickly move my hands to the plastic end.
The telling tack is electrified as it smashes into Dreadwing, and you feel just a little chip of Dreadwing's beak chip away.
Mm.
Cracks. He roars in anger. And Lila, you hear him scream, "You're hurting me! You're hurting me! You're hurting me!"
Everybody has a little bit of static. Mm. Your hair.
Come back up with, like, singed whiskers. Well done.
Like a little fire at the end of each one.
Yeah.
It's time to jet, y'all.
Yes, please.
That means leave. It absolutely is.
Fantastic. Susie, it is your turn.
Susie wants to do whatever she can to help this situation. I don't know if that's firing off more attacks at this creature or if it's just kind of hanging on to the back of this car for dear life, maybe holding it in place so everybody can get in. Because I know that Cinna really hasn't had a chance to pop in yet, and I don't want us to, like, launch without them.
That is one thing that will need to happen, is that you will all need to make a check to hang on.
Yeah.
If things get too hot, go on without me and I'll figure it out.
No, we're not going to do that. Don't be a hero.
I'm fleet of foot. Someone's got to make it.
Cinna, that's ridiculous. Get in the car.
I think with that, Susie is going to fire off a spell, another hex, but clutches the back of the, like the bumper of this car with their powerful kind of beak, like their beak-like jaws. And then, like, I don't know if there's like a defensive move here where you can kind of just like hold that. I'll hold that last turn to see if I need to do like a reaction of some kind, because maybe what'll happen is I can kind of lift, like tuck my feet in when it's time for us to jet and stop holding on and just kind of like I was saying before, just kind of keep clamped on the back and then let my body, my shell just sort of ride in the back so I don't take up too much space. I think that's my intention. here.
The good thing is all of your actions reset at the end of your turn. So Henry and Senna both have their full moveset that they can use to take reactions on right now. Once you are done with your turn, your moves will reset. So you will have all three actions for reactions if you want to spend them now. Okay. If you want to spend your regular actions now.
Okay. I know that I opined, probably not in the podcast last time, not on air, but privately, about my little D4. I was like, but what am I going to do with a little baby D4? But it crits
regularly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problems. Just crit it again. Very, very pleased.
Okay.
Man, Candace crit again.
You know, so that's 7 points of damage to just shoot the little, like, shoot through the slats again.
Ooh, okay.
It's saying I can also do another affliction, but the affliction's already going. The other affliction that I have is frenzied, okay. But there isn't a nearest random creature that is also a monster, that is also like a baddie. I'm not going to do that one.
It's just him. Okay.
Right. So I did crit, but I'm going to forego that second one.
Okay.
And just deal the 7 damage. And then the next turn is going to be to clamp down. And then the third turn will just be to like hang on and just kind of wait. It's going to be like a waiting action.
I'm going to have you roll a might check to stay clamped.
That is a 13.
Okay. Lila, it is your turn. I will say everyone will need to use a hang on check. Mm-hmm. In order to grab onto the car, I will let you use reactions for those once the car starts moving. So if somebody takes the action to move the car, I will let any remaining players take the reaction to cling on.
Lila's going to jump in.
Okay.
In the driver's seat.
Awesome.
Get in, losers. Okay. We're going shopping.
Yeah, duh.
Fantastic. You hop in.
Okay, it's my first time driving. I hope we don't go on the freeway.
Nothing could possibly go wrong.
What's a freeway?
There is a small lever on the back of the car that is used to expend all the built-up potential energy. Potential? Kinetic? Mm-hmm. One of those.
Potential, you're correct.
Potential, fantastic. All of that potential energy is ready to go. You flick the lever.
Mm-hmm.
You do it. Senna and Henry, roll checks to hang on.
What kind of checks?
You can use either might or finesse.
Oh, might's so much better.
All right.
14 for might.
Okay.
16 might.
Okay. The car launches forward. All four of you are able to grab on at the last second as it rockets off the top of the bank, sailing over just open air.
Oh my God, Susie, is this the fastest you've ever gone?
Susie, you hear just like a muffled
too fast,
like coming from the best.
The car sails through the air. You all start to lift out just a little bit. Susie, your arms and legs dangling through the air as this car rockets up to the through the top of its trajectory. You all lift up just a little bit and you see coming up on the horizon the Middlewood. It is fast approaching a long, dense strip of foliage along the center of Maul. Its massive trees of palm arc high into the heavens above. You are sailing towards it at lightning speed. And then the nose of the car begins to dip down and you begin to plummet back towards the tiled earth. You have moved from near to even farther than far. You sail most of the way to the middle wood, and the car, boom, crashes to the tiled earth, and all four of you spill out, skittering across the tiled floor.
Not quite elegant, but at least we're here.
That was wonderful. We should let children drive more often.
Should I leave a note?
It'll be fine.
Josie, you all right back there?
Excuse me. If it wouldn't be too much trouble, could you write me?
In the fray, in like the she's on her back. And she's just kind of like arms and legs akimbo, like, someone please assist.
All right, friend. 1, 2, flip.
Thank you, Sinner. Thank you so much. Oh,
of course.
Is that how fast you all go normally? That seems rather rapid to me. That you're asking for trouble living life that quickly. You never stop to take a look around. You might miss something.
I don't think I've ever gone that fast before. Sinner, you're the one with the legs.
Me either.
I mean, I'm close, but not at that level. I don't go flying through the air like that.
That was incredible.
As you gather yourselves, you hear in the distance,
right, we ought to move in.
You watch as Dreadwing struggles to his feet and begins sprinting towards you, flapping his wings.
Wait, running or flying? Because seeing a bird run is scary as hell.
He's running in order to gain.
His little legs.
It's kind of like it's not quite the funny parrot walk and more like a parrot run. Like he's hunched over beak first, like launching himself towards you. He's using his wings to like towards you. You are just outside the middle wood.
Into the woods!
Dreadwing is charging towards you, and you all turn. There is a fence between you and the middle wood. Very small. Easy to vault over. But you'll all need to make a finesse check.
Oh, man.
All right.
You're out of combat, but you could very quickly become back in combat.
19.
19?
That's great.
Senna, you launch yourself and disappear into the foliage.
Just jumps over it.
I also had 19, that's why.
Wow.
Oh, very nice. Yes. Good job.
You, like a bouncing mushroom, just bounce over it.
Nicely done, Leaf.
Susie and Henry.
That's a 4.
I got a 4.
Wow, we're friends. No. 2 19s and 2 4s.
No.
Cinna jumps back again.
Right, no, the other two are sort of boundy and jumpy. I think the two of us are just sort of a mouse and a tortoise.
My darling Prince Henry, I hope I have not slowed you down some.
Not at all, Elder Susie. I am just as slow as you. I am not a mouse of great finesse.
Dreadwing is about halfway to you now.
Well, this is bad.
I will toss the yarn over so they have something to grab onto.
Wow, this should have been your magic item.
God.
Hey, it's just rope, right?
It's just rope.
I just got rope.
Endless rope.
Can I make a might check to physically pick up Susie and push her over the...
Yeah.
Over the thing? Great.
Yeah, you can. Roll a might check.
That's only an 11.
Okay. You are able to, like, you deadlift Susie. Susie, I will allow you to roll a finesse check to help carry yourself the rest of the way over.
Oh my god. I got a 3, and that's a -1.
Oh.
Throw that die away.
Genuinely. It's in jail now. I think Susie sees Dreadwing moving quickly and gaining on them and freezes and looks to Prince Henry.
Prince Henry, listen to me. I have a hard shell, and if he comes here, I can tuck in and be all right. But you, the others need you. and you need them, so just wait for me. Get inside and be safe, and when it's all right, I will follow.
Underneath you, Henry says, Elder Susie, don't be daft. We're trying to get you over the bloody gate.
I understand, but you are young, and it is important that you continue your journey.
It's important that you continue your journey. Blast, why is everyone trying to self-sacrifice today? Cinna, the rope!
Yeah, Cinna, the rope launches over and lands near y'all. It is within reach of both of you.
Elder Susie, grab the rope, please.
Dreadwing is about 75% of the way to you.
I will grab the rope, but if he gets here, I will let go and you will go up by yourself.
Elder, you will do no such thing and we can fight about it later.
Susie just kind of like huffs. You hear like a kind of sound. And she snaps her little jaws onto the rope.
Lila is going to help from Cinna's side.
Henry and Susie re-roll the finesse check with advantage.
Oh, God, that's a 10.
Okay.
I got a natty 20!
Yay!
That bite is strong.
Yeah, it is.
Susie, you are able to... The strength comes to you as Dreadwing approaches. You are able to heft yourself over. Henry, you start to pull up and slide back down the rope. But on a nat 20, Susie, you are able to reach back and grab Henry.
Ugh.
All right. You win. We go over together. Are you happy now, young prince?
Elated.
And you both tumble onto this side of the fence, hitting the cool, soft dirt on this side. As you do, Dreadwing slams into the fence, beak first, slams into it. And all of you run into the foliage of the Middlewood. In the distance, you hear the squawks and screams of an angry Dreadwing. Lila, you hear, "Oh, found you! As you escape into the depths of the woods, you are in the midst of the Middlewood. As I said before, it is this long strip of foliage along the center of Maul. There are these massive arcing palm trees that go up and up and up, even higher than Upper Overmaul, the second level far above you. We haven't talked a whole lot about Upper Overmaul, but just a little bit of background. It is perhaps the most dangerous realm in Maul, and that is why there are no kingdoms up there. It has no connection to the safety of the Undermaul. There is only exposure to the realm of the giants, and those, if any, that live there are rumored to have long gone mad. There is nothing for anyone up there. And so you look up and see these trees magnificently touching heights no one would ever dream of going up to. Here, vegetation grows magnificently, wildly. Bush groves and long grass hide any small folk from the outside world. Of any place in Maul, this is perhaps the only that is mostly safe to travel during the day. And that is good, because it is about this time, as you begin to head in, you hear Dreadwing squawk one more time, and then lift into the sky and away as the doors click and the first of the giants begin to walk the daytime Maul.
Can Lila do a perception check and touch the ground?
Sure.
And she wants to know if the people we're looking for passed this way.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah.
She's reaching into the mycelial network, talking to her homies.
You roll a perception check.
That'll be an 8.
On an 8, there is no sign that people have traversed the Middlewood recently. At least not this section of it. And you recall the Arcadians had some sort of vehicle with them in which they loaded the children. If they stopped in the Middlewood, they did not take the vehicle with them. It could not have made it over the gate.
Elder Susie, are we going the right way?
I admit, Kiosk is not a place that I have spent a lot of time in.
I think Susie raises their head and kind of starts to look around, trying to stretch her long neck as far as it can go to see if she can, look over top the trees or anything.
I confess, I do not know where I am.
It strangely feels like home to me.
Do you think this bears some resemblance to where you're from?
I think so. It feels nice and, damp.
Oh, look at you. Oh, your little gills have finally loosened up. You are so tight and so, I don't know, withered for a moment. I understand that was quite an ordeal.
Yeah, it freaked me out.
Understandable, dear Lila. You are safe now, at least from him.
Who was that?
Oh, that was Dreadwing.
I don't much like speaking his name.
I look over at Cinna.
He presided over Petlandia. We were all prisoners of the giants there, with smaller giants poking at us and prodding us and giving us silly names. But we all feared the bird. Giants and we folk alike.
Silly names, huh?
Oh, well, I kind of liked mine, but there were a lot of silly names around there.
I see where you get it from.
I don't understand what you're...
Let's go.
And you move forward through the middle wood. Here the earth is strange. Beneath your feet, it is not the hard tile of the rest of the overmall, nor is it like the packed dirt of the undermall, but it is soft, loose dirt. It feels cool to your touch and soft on your feet as you journey through it. And as you travel through the middle wood, it is peaceful. The sounds of the giants outside is nerve-wracking, but here you are safe. They cannot see you in here, nor would they look for you in here. And as you travel, it gives you time to think. And I'm curious, what passes through your minds?
Cinna is marinating on what Lila said about this feeling like home. And while they've never been outside of Maul, they kind of understand what that means. They keep having to stop themselves and resist the urge to dig holes in the earth and just snuggle in there. There's something safer about this, even with the noises of the giants outside. And I don't know, there's this prevailing sense of rightness about the path.
Something primal.
Yeah.
Something not yet awakened.
With every step, instead of expecting a heartbeat, per step, in Lila's head, it's dripping water. She starts to think about how far she's come. She started out as a tiny, errant, episodal purple spore. latched onto the cable knit sweater of the manager of the Wendy's as they were taking a much-needed hike in the Garden of the Gods in Chatsworth, California, on their day off. And they wore that same sweater to work at Mall. And she rested there, dormant, for a long time. Months, actually. Until it was time again to use that sweater. And she spawned from a dripping refrigerator below the Wendy's, what they call the walk-in. And she was discovered speaking in what you call tongues and was brought to Archimedes. And now she stands on feet that touch dirt and that have traveled, that have flown. And she smiles. If a mushroom could smile.
Yeah. There's like a little crease that happens.
I think Susie has an appreciation for how green it looks and how peaceful it seems. The temporary refuge from Dreadwing is invaluable in this moment. She hasn't really gotten up to this much trouble in some time. And I think being inside of this forest that she used to look at and admire feels almost like a strange logical step for her. There's so much of this place that she's explored, both on purpose and by accident. And to be here with people who matter to her on a mission of great importance and prestige feels wonderful. So I think if you look over at her, the corners of her mouth are turned upward as she kind of ambles along, using her glaive and walking stick mode. And just kind of catches herself like humming little tunes and stuff to herself as she like takes in the scenery and watches Lila come to life in this place that feels like home.
By contrast, Henry is a bit of a thinker, and he's someone who gets a bit stuck in his head. So if you were to look at Henry, you would see a little crease behind his between his little eyebrows. And he's sort of looking at the ground. There's a very beautiful, lush wilderness that he's never seen before happening around him. And he's looking at the floor because he's trying to puzzle something out. And his mind first kind of involuntarily drifts to home, to Jack-a-Penny and his three eldest siblings, who he never really knew well because they were so much older than him, but who were all killed by Dreadwing. And he only ever really found out about that because he received notice, just written notice from home that they had died. And I don't think he ever really grieved them because he didn't know them, but it made him very acutely aware that he is now closer to power that he doesn't want than ever. So Dreadwing scares him in that way. And he's also a very loyal mouse, having been ashamed by his grandfather's betrayal of Maul by siding with Arcadia and his father's betrayal of his stepmother in creating him. He feels this real sense of duty and loyalty to King's Court and to his comrades here. And it's quite troubling to him that all of them seem to be so willing to jump to self-sacrifice so quickly. And he's just sitting there thinking, I don't know how these people don't understand. This self-sacrifice business is not noble, it's thoughtless. If you lose people, you're not playing the game smart enough. And he starts doing the sort of mental calculus of making contingency plan after contingency plan after contingency plan so that if anything like this happens again, there will be a plan in place to make sure that everybody's okay.
You are each in your own little world as you tread forth. Worlds of possibility, of fact, of potential. All of you know the task at hand means danger, but you don't let it stop you from planning, from seeing, from knowing, from continuing. But as you move forward, and because each of you are in your own little world, Lila, with an 8 on your nature craft check, you do not quite see a rune etched into the dirt glow as you pass it.
Now!
And as you continue, from that rune sprouts forth a skeletal hand. And then from the dirt begins to pull itself upright. And all of you start to hear the movement of dirt, as if something were pushing itself above ground, and you turn. And behind you, pulling itself out of the dirt, is a feline skeleton.
No!
Oh! Massive in size. It pulls itself up. Its large skeletal fangs look at you. Well, I guess it's lack of eyes. Its eye sockets empty, devoid of anything. Stare listlessly at you.
Relatable.
Is it?
And she adjusts her little twisty tie over her eyes.
Oh, yeah.
It gnashes its teeth and then begins to come towards you. And as you watch others begin to rise, smaller, of mice, of geckos, of lizards, all manner of skeletal creatures begin to rise from the dirt, a trap left behind for whoever might find it. And that is where we'll pick up next time.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Mage Hand High Five, Legends of Mull, Treachery of the Rat King. Want to show your support for our show? Want to hear us talk more about it? Then check out our Patreon at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. We've got multiple tiers, some if you just want to show your support, some if you want to get all kinds of extra goodies like homebrew content, early access to merch, a second extra podcast, Mage Hand Down Low, where we talk about the behind the scenes of the episodes, and then if you really want to go to the distance, we have an even bigger tier that includes all the above, plus monthly live streams and creative content from the cast that you can't get anywhere else. So check us out at patreon.com/magehandhighfive to learn more. Thank you to Jacob Kersner for our music, and for Shane Smith for our logo, and for Fjell at Under Pale Water on Instagram for our beautiful cover art for Legends of Mull. Check out our website at magehandhighfive.com and look for us all across social media. We are on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Discord, Blue Sky, and wherever else we may be, we're going to be there. At Magehand High Five. Go to your podcatcher of choice and throw a 5-star review our way. I know I've said this before, but it makes a huge difference for algorithms and getting the silly electronic gods to deign to show you to other people. So please help us out. Get the stupid AI gods out of the way so that we can actually be seen by more people. It's a huge help. Thank you so much in advance. And now I'm going to shout out all of our original and up high subscribers over on Patreon. And I'm going to do it in one breath. Ionized boop. Crimson crown. Finding new ways of making Robin regret giving me this power. Yes, Robin, the whole thing, including this. Michael Carey, Marinette, Malty, Azure, Luke Sharples, Miranda Koppel, Jay, Theo Els, White, Lindsay, Dale Heimbecker, DM Dippyfresh, Darth Zelda, Jabber Jacobson, Jackson Maurer, Ocarina Sonata, Mads the Jellykeep, Morgan Famer, Kathleen Ayers, Kellen Wilbur, Trout Relief, Patrick Hickman, Debbie, Nathan Ritter, Chicken Too Tasty, Evan Noon, Avery Spar, AM Lovelies, Alcinda Valvis, Dust Carpenter, Diana Bacon, Al Forstokey, Liz, Carrie Lee, Jonathan Gunn, Tyler Gardner, Eldest Soul, Jelena Pangler, Hickman, Alan Sammy Richardson. Some of you, one in particular, is trying to get me to genuinely pass out on mic. You know who you are, and I'm watching you, but I have achieved my goal one more time. Okay. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your foes about the show. Tell the sad, disgruntled employee at the local bank that's completely empty at all times of the day because they just need something to do. And when you do, use the hashtag MHH5 and hey, how about a high five?